Welcome, Spartans, to Mission Debrief. We're playing every mission in the mainline Halo video game series in chronological order, discussing our experiences and sprinkling in a little lore along the way. If you'd like to play along and have your thoughts read on the show, email us at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. We'll be kicking off our coverage of Spartan Ops from Halo 4 on the next episode. If you'd like to support the show, visit Podcast Evolved on Patreon. This episode, we're recapping Halo 4, discussing how it stacks up against the other games we've played so far. I'm your host, Colin Perkins, alongside David Arnold.
Hello, everybody.
And Krista Brown.
The reclamation has begun.
Indeed it has. The story so far, we have played six Halo video games for you.
That is a lot of video games.
There is one mainline video game left, and then we're going to play Spartan Ops, and then we're going to go play all the other stuff. It's going to be great.
Oh my gosh.
So buckle up. All right, so I'm going to read through the story so far. Here we go. Kind of an overview of all of the games that we've played. Halo Reach. We suited up as Noble Six, and were deployed with a team of Spartans to do everything we could to repel the invading Covenant forces before having to admit defeat and help the Pillar of Autumn escape from the planet's glassing. That was July 24th, 2552 to August 30th, 2552. In Halo CE, we dropped out of slipspace and explored the mysterious Halo ring that Cortana randomly brought us to. As Master Chief, we battled the Covenant, discovered the Flood, and realized we had to destroy the Ringworld superweapon in order to save all life in the galaxy. That was September 19th, 2552 to September 22nd, 2552. In Halo 2, the mystery of the Covenant and their diabolical motivations were finally revealed. Playing as both the Arbiter and Master Chief, we defended Earth, discovered another Halo, fought more Flood, witnessed the downfall of the Covenant, chatted with the Gravemind, teamed up with the betrayed Sangheili race to stop Tartarus from firing Delta Halo, and then chased after the Prophet of Truth to finish the fight on Earth. That was October 20th, 2552 to November 3rd, 2552. There was an epilogue on November 17th, 2552. And then in the anniversary edition, we meet Jameson Locke. He's hanging out with the Arbiter, and that's October 27th, 2558. All right, so now we're on Halo 3 ODST. This is kind of in the middle of Halo 2. Alpha 9 was deployed to help rebel the Covenant's surprise invasion of Earth, but their orbital drop went awry. The team was scattered across New Mombasa and had to fight their way back together in order to protect an assault that could have been, an asset that could have been the key to winning the war. That was on October 20th, 2552 to October 21st, 2552, so a short time span. Then there was the epilogue November 15th, 2552, and the legendary ending was November 17th, 2552. That aligns with Halo 2, Chief's back on Earth. In Halo 3, Master Chief crash-landed on Earth and immediately teamed up with Sergeant Johnson and the Arbiter in order to attempt to stop Truth from activating the portal at the Ark. However, Truth and the Brute-led Covenant force prevailed and made the jump to Installation 00 just as the Flood re-entered the fray. The UNSC and Sangheili made a quick alliance and chased Truth through the portal. On the Ark, Truth captured Johnson, murdered Miranda Keys, and then activated the Halo Array. Chief and the Arbiter stopped the firing sequence with the help of the Flood and then rescued Cortana from the Gravemind on High Charity. Our heroes then use a newly created ring to destroy the Flood, decimate the Ark, and escape with their lives. Well, almost everybody. No, that was on November 17th, 2552 to December 11th, 2552. There was an epilogue on March 3rd, 2553. Now the game we just played, Halo 4. After four and a half years of floating in deep space, a potentially rampant Cortana woke Master Chief when nearing a Forerunner shield world named Requiem, with a zealot Covenant sect and the newly discovered Prometheans breathing down their necks. The duo got tricked into releasing the Didact while trying to contact the UNSC supercarrier Infinity.
I mean, it is a super cool character.
Yeah, Infinity, it's a super character. That's pretty good.
The Didact, now released, the Didact escaped Requiem and use the composer to start digitizing humans on Earth to take vengeance on his old foes and reclaim the mantle of responsibility. Cortana then sacrifices herself to help John 117 defeat the Didac, destroy the composer, and return home. This is July 21st, 2557 to July 25th, 2557. Lots of stuff there. It's fun to recap the whole thing, so that's why I do it every time.
We've played many games.
We've come a long way.
Many times.
That's right. And so this show, we've talked a lot about the story in the previous episodes, obviously. We really want to use this episode to compare the games that we played so far. And the meat of the show is going to kind of compare how Bungie handled Halo and their games. And now that 343 is, and this is kind of the first, you know, their first real offering, I guess, their first unique their new offering to the Halo series. We're going to kind of see how Halo 4 stacks up against what Bungie, you know, left off with. But I do want to get overall thoughts, I guess, along those same lines. Now that 343 has taken over, we've just played the first original release. You know, they redid Halo CE Anniversary. How have they done now? How does it feel playing 343 Halo after coming fresh off of, you know, the last game of the Bungie led Halo? David, how does it feel? I guess there's a lot. That's a loaded question, but how does it feel to you?
There's a definite difference. It feels good. I mean, I like a lot of the changes to how the game played between 4 and 3. It's obviously a very different type of game, and obviously very heavily influenced by what was happening at the time. Purely and just, like, say, like, the story, I really, really, I loved the Cortana and Chief Dynamic. I thought it was fantastic. Great characters in this. There's a definite feel and change, and I always remember, I think it was Kiki or Bonnie, one of them being interviewed around the time the 343 was being created, about like how we, quote unquote, as Bungie, were very quick to kill off some of our best characters, and that they were trying not to do that anymore. And you can see that with how Halo has progressed since 343 has taken over. So you do get the sense that they're trying to build new characters, and you can see that with Palmer. You can see what they tried with Spartan Ops, with Crimson. You can see Lasky obviously being built up very strongly. Roland is the AI. I mean, they are trying to build up more characters within the game world that are not as disposable, which is good, because they definitely have killed off some of their best.
And yeah, you can see them trying to build up.
Yeah, pretty much. So I think they've done a good job of just launching into Halo 4 with this new cast of characters and trying to get you the care. Obviously, there's a wealth of media around the game to help support these, and that's a 343 tactic now that we saw even going from 4 to 5, the wealth of media that came out to build up these new characters before the game launched. So I quite like that. I do enjoy. I know I'm not a lover of Palmer, but I appreciate the effort that went in to build this person.
And we're going to go through all the categories this time, especially because we have this comparison, this hard comparison point versus, like, it was harder for us. I think Halo 3, we kind of skipped it because it was like, how is Halo 3 compared to all the other games? But now it's like, how does the, you know, the Bungie games compare to Halo 3? So we'll go through our normal categories. But, you know, Krista, kind of same question, you know, 343 has the mantle now, the Halo mantle. What's your take on that now after playing this game specifically?
I agree with David in that they really focused on characterization in this. I mean, a lot of the Bungie games kind of ignore the dynamic between Chief and Cortana and kind of only use it as a story device instead of being an actual, like, pair of characters that have dynamics and feelings and, you know, work off of each other a lot and have been together for such a long time. And I really enjoyed that being fleshed out. Something I also really enjoyed with 343 is the fleshing out of Forerunner stuff, just in general. Bungie always kind of did a cloaking thing with the Forerunners. Like, it was always a mystery. You never really got any like solid pieces to any puzzles, and 343 just kind of paints such a concise picture with the Forerunners and makes it make sense in the universe instead of just being, oh, they're just an ancient thing and we're dealing with the things that they have, but we have no idea about anything else other than that. And I think the fleshing out of them as just a species and as, you know, people with motivations and, you know, ancient wars, ancient feuds. The Didact is a great character. Mm-hmm. I can't say this enough. I really love the Didact. They definitely tried to make the Prometheans a really interesting enemy, and in some regards they are, but they're also really annoying at some points. Right. Like, the Halo 4 Prometheans are super annoying. I think they changed them up a lot between Halo 4 to 5, but, you know, I really do appreciate them trying to come in with a very different perspective, like a bunch of different weapons, a bunch of different enemies, you know, all of this stuff to kind of flesh out the universe just a little bit more. So it's not Covenant Flood like every single other Bungie game. It's Covenant Flood, Covenant Flood, Covenant Flood.
Yeah.
And Reach is just Covenant, which I love the Covenant and I love the Flood, but it's nice to see some kind of more variety with the enemies.
It's I'm sure it's been debated to death, you know, and so this isn't the first group of people that had had this conversation about 343 and Bungie, but it's interesting. I don't think us three have had this conversation, and having the perspective of, you know, we do Podcast Evolved and we have just played all of these games and you guys do all your lore stuff. I want to ask you, so let me just provide a little perspective. I like the new direction. I like the feel of it, and like it feels unique from Bungie, because Bungie had a different story to tell, and now this is 343's story to tell. At least, you know, Bungie had that they left Chief floating in space, and they left a couple crumbs. You know, he saved the day, he defeated the Flood. Like, now what are you gonna do? I want to ask David this. Is, you know, and maybe this puts you on the spot, is like, is this the right story to tell from 343's standpoint? Like, Bungie more or less bowed up the story that they wanted to tell and the experience they wanted to give their players, and 343 could have taken it lots of different directions, but there was enough to pull from to make it make sense and make it flow through. You know, do you like this direction? Would you have gone a little bit differently? Would you have told maybe like another Flood story, or is going down this Forerunner path the right way to go?
That's a very interesting question. I think they were definitely deliberately leaving the story there for this to be told. I mean, the legendary ending of Halo 3 is the beginning of Halo 4.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously with the transition for Bungie wanted out from Microsoft, there's a lot of politics in there, and there's a lot of, obviously, Halo 3 wasn't their last Halo game they made. They deliberately went back and made Reach. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And had ODST as their final games.
They were under contract, so like they had to. But they didn't want to touch, like, where they left Halo 3. They didn't want to touch that anymore, right? They wanted to go back and tell something else.
See, if they didn't do that, then their story is, well, there's pretty much no Flood in the universe post Halo 3.
Mm-hmm.
There are small fractions of it, but I don't think it would have been right to go straight back into the Flood taking over again. I really want, at that stage in the lore, I guess it made sense to kind of, I mean, what you have is a very fractured Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely stories that could have been told of that have been told more in the books now, do you know what I mean? But you could have gone that way with the games, but not where you left Chief, unless you actually leave Chief there and maybe. Yeah. But again, I guess coming with a whole new company, making a brand new Halo game, they had to have Chief in it. So I don't think they really had any option. Yeah. They had to bring Chief back, and where the story left off was very deliberately pointed towards Requiem. Do you know what I mean?
Well, the Forerunners were left in the background the entire time from Bungie, and 343 could have left them in the background, but they chose to focus on them instead, right?
And I'm to be honest, I'm glad about that, because there's only so long you can tease us with a mysterious ancient race before we got to get more than what we were being given. So I do appreciate that we had that massive lore dump of the Forerunner saga and how the terminals and everything in this game flesh out this race.
Yeah.
Make more personable, giving us characters that are amazing and giving us another avenue to tell stories through. Because obviously there's a period of time now that has this ripe for like storytelling.
Exactly.
Which is like ancient humanity and the ancient Forerunners, and even where some of those tidbits lead off in today's kind of stories and stuff is awesome. So I'm definitely very appreciative that we've got, like Krista said, that we got these answers. Mm-hmm. That we now know what the Forerunner is. I mean, obviously you've revealed that mystery. So there's an element there to what's really next for Halo. And I don't really think for Halo 5, I mean, we'll get there. But just broadly speaking, or specifically speaking about this game, I do like where the story went, and I liked that they focused on Chief Cortana, that that's what they did, that they brought in the Forerunners, that you have to address this big thing, which is these rapidly rampant sea of Cortana growing, and how important that is and what that means. So I don't,
Krista, where else could they have gone? Where else could they have gone besides the Forerunners?
I mean, they could just tell another Flood story.
I mean, was that the only option? You think?
No, I mean, it could have been a Covenant story. I mean, it's hard because, like, the Halo universe has, before this, the Halo universe only had two main factions, and that was the Covenant, which was disbanded. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were a lot less of a threat by the end of Halo 3.
Mm-hmm.
They were just completely gone. So you have the Covenant, and you have the Flood. And, like, the Flood are written in such a way that they can just pop up wherever you want them to, basically. Yeah. Like, they're an amazing enemy in that you can just put them anywhere. They could just be like, oh, there was a Flood spore, and now there's Flood everywhere. Right. Oh, my God. So, I mean, enemy-wise, there has to be a new enemy created in Halo, because the Covenant aren't going to be the big bad enemy right now, and either are the Flood. Because they're kind of old. You kind of deal with all of that in Halo 3. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the only other option is to create something new for Chief to fight. Because you can't have Chief just on a planet wandering around and wondering what's going on without some kind of threat.
Right.
Because that would just be boring.
Well, I think to David's point is they kind of had to... This needed to be another Master Chief story. They could have done something... Because the universe is written in a certain way, they could have done a further back prequel, or they could have done like another ODST type story, and maybe they had those conversations, but this offering needed to be
Master Chief.
So it needed to be like, give us answers. What's Chief? When are we going to find Chief? He's floating in space. There's this crazy planet,
and also he's a ticking time bomb because he has Cortana with him. Like, it's not widely known up to Halo 3 that AIs have a lifespan of 7 years, but in the books it's quite fleshed out. So, I mean, like, they were on a time crunch to... I mean, Cortana's gonna end up rampant at this point. Like, what do we do? You can't have Chief floating out in space for hundreds of years and have a story told way, way, way in the future, because Cortana would just be like... Like 8-bit Mario, like broken. So I mean, you can't tell a story way, way, way in the future. It has to be Master Chief, and you can't really tell a story way, way, way in the past because Halo Reach just came out, basically. So I mean, you kind of have to tell a story within like the 4 to 5 year kind of segment. Because the other thing is, when you go so far in the future, it becomes a problem in that, you know, there's a huge gap in time that you have to fill with something. Mm-hmm. And Chief could have woken up to a galaxy completely overrun with Flood or something crazy like that. And the Covenant could have been rebuilt and all this stuff could happen. Yeah. But then you don't have Cortana to rely on, because Cortana's broken. Mm-hmm. She's even more broken than she is in Halo 4. And at this point in the series, Chief is so reliant on Cortana to drive his character to do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, Chief can't function very well without Cortana, because Chief and Cortana are basically just one big plot device that drives the story forward. And so it was a good idea for 343 to kind of remove that plot device in a way that makes sense, but you can't start a new Halo series without Chief and Cortana.
Yeah, like, as especially a duo. With where that was left, right? Because they finally came back together in 3. He saved, you know, Cortana.
It had to be a Chief and Cortana story.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, getting, like, taking Cortana out is kind of like a crutch for Chief was a good idea, and it was interesting, mm-hmm. and having more characterization there. Mm-hmm. But you can't just, like, Chief wakes up and it's just him, and now what do I do? Because, I mean, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Who's going to tell Chief what to do next? Because he's just going to be silent through the entire game and improvise. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. And it's, you know, it's, I guess it's hard to think of a world, and I'm sure people that are more creative than us that could come up with something else. But right now, because we're so deep into the lore and everything that's happened since Halo 4 and what's coming, it's hard to imagine a world that doesn't have Halo 4 and 5 in place, at least kind of those story threads at this point. You know, maybe we would think of a different way to present them. But from my perspective, I think bringing the Forerunners to the forefront, and especially if I'm thinking about from a business standpoint too, is, you know, that makes the most sense to kind of flesh out this this thing you've been teasing this whole time, because then that gives you all these other story threads and opportunities to tell different stories in different medium. And yeah, so I mean, I'm good with it. I'm happy that they've told this story. I'm happy that the story was focused on Chief and Cortana. You know, and we could probably, when we go through the our categories, maybe we'll find some criticisms here and there of kind of how the story was written or like how the gameplay was and whatnot. But I think in general, like where the arc, you know, I guess we closed one arc and we're starting a new arc, but there was enough. It made the most sense to kind of cultivate or I guess bring forward the seeds that were planted from the previous games.
Yeah. Well, and also 343 set up the Spartan Fours as like a thing, you know. They kind of bring that plot device to the forefront as well, which is
Didn't they talk about the Halo the Spartan Threes? Did they ever talk about Spartan Fours?
The Spartan Threes were in Halo Reach. But the Spartan Fours didn't actually come about until after Halo 3.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, did any of those books that Bungie came out with, they talked about Spartan 3s, but I don't think Spartan
4s. Yeah, they talked about 3s.
Yeah, okay.
But no 4s. Mm-hmm. So 343 came up with the idea of Spartan 4s. Mm-hmm.
They may have or may not, I can't remember the different generals. Is it Musa or Atkinson? But there were other Spartan programs in the works, and they were definitely, because when 3s were being made, I'm sure they were fleshing out the next class and the next school. And they may have talked about it, may have even said Spartan 4.
It would have been somewhere
stage.
In Ghost of Onyx, but it wasn't.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
It wouldn't be more than just one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything is very focused on Spartan 3s in that regard. And there's no other book in the Bungie saga that really talks about any other Spartan program.
Yeah. And Spartan 4s, I mean, really, we haven't covered them yet. I mean, we've covered them a little bit, but they're in this game. They're in this story, but their story is told in Spartan Ops and then Halo
Spartan
5.
Ops, yeah. Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, 343 did introduce them to the series as kind of like the next generation, you know, mm-hmm. humanity's still kind of going with it. Chief now has to deal with these a bunch of younglings right. that are trying to take over his spot and act like they're all cool and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so that's good. I like having that conversation kind of at a high level. And then I do want to dig a little bit deeper, so I'm trying to think. Let's see, do we go categories? Why don't we just talk about highlights and lowlights of the game. Let's talk about the game specifically, like gameplay and like moments and, you know, the story as I guess it's being told. Those are kind of all one when you're the player, you know, like the encounter with the Didact is one kind of one event for me, or like flying the Pelican and things like that. It's story and also gameplay. So let's maybe talk about like the best moments of the game. that we can recall as you're looking back on Halo 4, as you're remembering Halo 4 and then playing it again. What were the best parts of Halo 4 for you, David?
Honestly, I did really enjoy fighting the Covenant in this game. I mean, they weren't that crazily different, but I loved the new designs, the new kind of faction they had built here, the Swords of Sanctus, or was it Swords of Sanctus?
No, that's not until not them. Later.
It was Didax Hand. What are they called?
Didax Hand? Yeah. Yeah, that faction were really great, and I really did like them. Their kind of plot story isn't really told that well. It's kind of mostly in Spartan Ops, where you kind of learn who and what they were. Mm-hmm. Because they're just a throwaway faction, essentially. There's like a one line where Cortana kind of describes what they are, and then that's just kind of actually in-game dialogue.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to pay attention to it to really, really kind of know. There's a... God, what else? I do like... No, I don't actually know that. Do I like the Mantis? I don't really. Like, the vehicles feel a little bit weird in Halo 4. They feel really light. And generally, the Mantis is really kind of heavy. So I'm kind of just trying to think of kind of gameplay moments. I did like the broadsword. I did like...
What about story moments?
Oh my god, so many. Like, everything between Chief and Cortana was amazing.
Mm-hmm. I think the story is really the highlight of all of this. Yeah. Like, the story, they did the story really well. Up to the Didax, like, quote-unquote fight scene death kind of thing that was going on. I didn't like the conclusion as much, but...
Me neither. I mean, the cutscenes were great. The game looks fantastic.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. The terminals are really well done. I liked how they went to a kind of animated kind of comic book, motion comic style. They were really cool. God, what else? There's so many weapons. They really fleshed out the weapons in this game.
All of the Forerunner weapons are really fun. And they actually feel like, with all of the weapons that Halo has, it feels like they can't really add anything more diverse than what they already have. But every Forerunner gun feels really unique, really fun, really different. It never feels like they're treading across the same ground. Like, even, like, something as simple as, like, the binary rifle is just a sniper rifle, but it feels different. And so does the incineration cannon.
Sure.
It's like just a rocket launcher, but it feels really powerful and different.
Serves the same purpose as... You know, the rocket launcher, the sniper rifle, but yeah, the way that it fires, the way that it looks, what it actually does to your enemies. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, there is, like all Halo, some of the open missions that are kind of on a Requiem are my favorites. They're really good.
Nice. Any other highlights, Krista, for you?
I think the I like most of the art direction in this game. I'm still like, Chief's armor is still kind of a meh for me because when I saw Halo Infinite and Chief's original Halo 3 armor, I was just way more excited and felt a lot more at home with the character. Mm-hmm. So I think like the older kind of more, I don't know, I'm just not too crazy on the Master Chief armor between Halo 4 and Halo 5, but other than that, the Didact looks super cool. Yeah. All the Prometheans look super cool. Yeah, that's true. Requiem is gorgeous, you know? I mean, you know, when you go off planet and you see the Halo ring in the background and you're on the Oni station, and it just, the environments are really cool. Mm-hmm. They make you feel the way you should feel. Like, some of the Forerunner stuff gets kind of repetitive, but Forerunner stuff has always looked like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're in a different land, but when you walk into a Forerunner structure, you still feel the feeling that you got from, like, Halo 1 when you were walking through the Forerunner corridors. Yeah, so I think all of the art direction was really cool. Any changes they made, except Chief's armor, was really cool. Like David said, the Covenant all look really, really, really nice. They look a little more, they look less refined than the Covenant, than the proper Covenant. So they look a little more... like ragged, not raggedy, but it looks a little more simplistic and kind of less grandiose rural.
Mm-hmm. The comment about Chief's armor, I think, is interesting because I'm in the same camp, especially now knowing what we know and, you know, kind of I think it was more like a technology showpiece.
I think they wanted to make Master Chief their own,
mm-hmm.
in a way. And so they came up with kind of a new design for him. But I think the game would have made me feel a little more at home with Master Chief if they kept the same Halo 3 aesthetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my comment is more along like the game is gorgeous and they're pushing the 360 to look as good as it possibly can. I think it would have been a little bit of a challenge to, or maybe it just wouldn't be as well received if it was just kind of ho-hum armor versus like, whoa, I can see all these little details in there, you know? So anyway, you know, that's a debate for a different time. But
Cortana looks really good. I love Cortana.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And also it makes sense for Cortana to just change up her appearance whenever she wants, because that she's an AI and she can do that whenever she wants.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah. The audio and like the music is a highlight for me.
Oh, the music's fantastic.
Except absolutely. The warthog sounds.
Yeah, the warthogs aren't that great. But the majority of the sounds, I don't think I'm a fan of the BR either, but majority of the audio is really good for me. You know, it still feels like Halo and it's like a natural progression and in some cases, but then it also allows 343 to make the sound, you know, the crunch of the AR I love. They did a really good job with that. The story, obviously,
they definitely got some really good Foley artists to work on this. Like mm-hmm. everything sounds so good.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds good. I think you know the gameplay is well. I don't want to get too far into comparisons yet. I think so. Highlights sound story for me is a highlight. The focus on the Forerunners and like answering a ton of questions is a highlight for me. The fact that, I guess as a lore person that's interested in the lore, the fact that they have gone so deep and, you know, the lore is there if you want to go down that path. But I think, maybe we switch over to kind of some of the struggles, is like, I think they didn't do a great job of making a more casual Halo player feel comfortable with the story, because it was so reliant on all that other stuff. All the terminals and the books and all that sort of thing.
Six books.
Yeah. I don't know. There's probably a way to have made it more approachable from that standpoint, or understandable from that standpoint. But yeah, that I think when I talk to people about Halo 4, they say, "Yo, I love the story, but I think the story they're talking about is the relationship between Chief and Cortana, not necessarily like this plot arc that I read off earlier, like that plot, the plot of Halo 4. I think people don't necessarily know what happened, but they do know that Chief, Cortana were found. And then, you know, kind of, as I said at the last recap, like they had that heartfelt moment and now Cortana's gone, you know, like that's kind of the crux of what people I think remember from the story.
You're probably right.
Any struggles? Any other low points for you, David?
I've probably already kind of talked about Prometheans. Them for the most part. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Prometheans. They look amazing. I just got really bored with their mm-hmm. fighting style. And that's a low point guess, for me too. The concept of what they are is really cool, and how they were implemented. Like, they look amazing. Their art design is cool, and I like how they fit into the lore. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's a cool concept. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it. Just don't like actually vibe in them. They're just too bullet spongy. You don't get the impact, the satisfaction. Their AI, I don't think, is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Given how proven them, maybe that's deliberate based on what they are, but whatever. You know what I mean? I guess the Pelican was a disappointment.
Yeah.
I wasn't huge in how it controlled. That mission is so frustrating. And, God damn,
just the fact that it's limited, is that why it's frustrating for you?
Yeah, it's just like it doesn't fly like a Pelican the way we've seen since Halo 1 onwards. Mm-hmm. And how a Pelican moves, it just didn't feel right. That's just not how it controls.
Yeah.
And essentially all you're doing with it is flying forward, shooting some phantoms, landing, getting up, flying to another thing, shooting some phantoms, flying down. Like, that wasn't really satisfying. It would have been way more cooler to like fly through a canyon, or do you know what I mean, like actually drop something off, drop shit style, like pick some dudes up, bring them somewhere, you know. Mm. I would I guess I wanted to be Faux Hammer, I guess, now that I think about it. That's really all I really wanted.
Faux Hammer Simulator.
Yeah, but that's good. I've kind of harped on about that already in previous episodes. The ending, I suppose, of where the story goes, I do like it. The quick time event was kind of weird, but I guess I prefer that over a boss fight, which I kind of said already. But it's a little bit weird in terms of, like, because that's what happens to the Didact, spoiler alert, is carried on through comics, which is kind of weird. Mm-hmm. In terms of, like, how amazing that character is, like Krista said, he was awesome. Like,
it's
so
such
awesome.
A shame. Like, and the way they handled their character, his character post Halo 4
why? We'll get there.
Yeah. That's it for me.
Krista, anything else?
The Didact thing. Some of the, like, a lot of the level design was really good, but every once in a while I'd play a level and be like, oh. Kind of like the Gondolo mission, and like David said, the Pelican mission, like, you could have done a lot more with that. It was just kind of like, hey, you're in a Pelican, which, I mean, flying the Pelican was fun and cool and stuff, but
we didn't talk about the sticky detonator. That thing's amazing.
That thing is so good. Oh my god.
Oh yeah, I like that. I do like that.
I definitely agree with the Promethean thing. Like, every mission the Ethians are in feels very different than, like, one of our favorite missions was the one where you get on the space station and it just has Covenant. We're like, this is Halo. This is the best mission ever. We had so much fun with that one. So I think the Prometheans could have used a better implementation into this, just gameplay-wise. Like, everything else about them is super cool and makes sense in the universe, but gameplay-wise, at some points, it's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Now, when they're fighting the Covenant, it's pretty cool and it feels like Halo, but when you're just fighting them, it's like, oh god, why am I here?
Yeah.
Who's cursed me in such a way?
Yeah, I don't know. I still haven't put my finger exactly on it, but the Prometheans, it's a lack of personality. There's other stuff, other factors, but, you know.
Well, it's like, when you fight Covenant, like, the grunts will run away and scream, like, when you kill an elite, and the elites will issue orders, and, you know, all of the AIs react very well to what you're doing, where the Prometheans feel like proper machines and that they don't have individual personalities, which makes sense.
Right.
But at the same time, it takes away some of the personality of Halo in that, like even the Flood had a lot of personality, and, like, the Gravemind would talk to you through all of this, and, like, the Flood would take over other people in Halo 3, and you could see the transformation happen.
Well, the Didact's,
like,
talking to you, so, I mean...
Yeah, the Didact is... But the Didact really feels very disconnected from the Prometheans at some points. Like, you never see him... Like, I feel like the Gravemind had a bit of a better integration, even though you never see them... It's very... Like, the Didact and the Gravemind are very similar in that you never fight them, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, you never see them, like, leading an army against you. Like,
and stuff like that. They're always talking to you through ambience and stuff like that. But for some reason, the Gravemind felt like it was in control the entire time, where the Didact felt like he was off doing his own thing, and the Prometheans were just... He's just like, go over there and go to the grocery store and give me some milk, I'm going to be over here.
Go play with the Covenant.
Right. Yeah. It felt like he was more of, like, just shoot. Go over there instead of being like, I'm, you know, dictating everything that's going on in this war kind of thing.
All right, let's get into our categories now. This will be interesting to have this conversation. So again, we're going to kind of say, you know, it's going to be more, I guess, probably our preference or in commenting on how each developer has done in the categories. Again, it's, you know, it's not fair because we've only played one game from 343, but it, you know, we have a feel for the direction, and let's try to keep it, you know, because we know, you know, Halo 5 and other stuff that's happened. Let's try to keep it, you know, the feel of Halo 4 and what's included in that versus, you know, what we've played from Bungie. So gameplay wise, Krista, maybe you can start this one off. Is how does the gameplay feel? How does it feel to control Chief in Halo 4 versus in the previous games?
So, I think it's really good. They really built off of Reach really, really well. Mm-hmm. I think they did a really good job at modernizing Halo, because Halo really needed that. A lot of people say, oh, I don't like Sprint. I don't like this. I don't like that. you got to modernize the game. If we're playing with just Halo CE like gameplay, it's not going to be fun anymore if it's just that over and over again. I will say that just Halo 4 gameplay doesn't sell it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would still say Bungie.
Sure.
But once you add in the factor of Halo 5 later, then it's like 343 is the definite winner. But for now, it's like Bungie. Bungie did a really good job. Like Halo Reach's gameplay feels really, really nice the entire time.
Yeah. And there's no equal comparison. Like, because this is their first game. Like, granted, they redid Halo CE. It's like, can we compare Halo CE to Halo 4? Like, that's not quite fair.
No, you can't.
Because it's still a continuation of all of the enhancements that Bungie had made over the years.
Yeah, but comparing directly from like Halo Reach gameplay to Halo 4 gameplay, they're almost too similar in the fact that I have to give it to Bungie because they're the first ones that kind of started implementing all these things, mm-hmm. like armor abilities and sprint and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Halo 4 definitely refined a couple things, but it's not different enough for 343 to take the prize.
Mm-hmm. David, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, she's probably right.
Of course, I'm always right.
I mean, I like how they are trying to make the Spartans feel like more Spartans. So like, when you hear about what a super soldier is and what it can do, what a Spartan can do, but you never really do that in the game. So I do like that they've introduced different gameplay elements and kind of streamlined it and incorporated like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it makes sense to boost. Ground pound's kind of weird, but like sprinting, grappling, all this kind of stuff, you should be able to do all these things. So I do like where the progression is going, gameplay wise.
Okay.
And story wise, I think they are doing a great job because they have to incorporate so much.
Well, we're talking gameplay. We're gonna go down the categories.
Just gameplay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Just go on gameplay. Yeah, I enjoy.
So you would say Bungie.
Halo 4 is gameplay.
You'd say Bungie.
Yeah.
Is more than.
Yeah, but like kind of have to because like Halo 1 is still my favorite game. Like Halo CE.
Yeah.
Even the remake, the 343 Mega. I love how that game plays even now. So.
I like controlling Halo 4 Chief, but this will go into one of the other categories. I just don't necessarily like fighting all the enemies that Halo 4 Chief fights. Like if I could control Halo 4 Chief in Halo 3, like I think that'd be a pretty cool thing. Right? Like the way that he moves and some of those armor abilities that he has. So
he's definitely got a good weight to him.
He's got a good weight. Yeah, you know, and you know, I like running around. that's good. He's not super floaty or anything like that. He feels good. And the encounter, so this I would imagine includes encounters like gameplay, right? It's hard to really compare because they're you know, the Bungie games have so much more than what 343 is. So I don't think 343 is they can't necessarily compare on that things, but there are some highlights, you know, like the way that Chief feels. There are some really good encounters in Halo 4. You know, I like the Mantis, so like I'm thinking of the classic one from the Composer mission where you're, you know, in the Mantis and you have this giant atrium that you're trying to defend. Like that's always a highlight of the gameplay for me. Not necessarily a big fan of flying the you know, the two flying portions of the game, but I like that they took a chance and I like that they did that. And I never really got, you know, from a mission to mission standpoint, I never really got frustrated or bored throughout Halo 4. It's like there was always something new to do. There was a new vehicle to drive. There was a new take on a different encounter. Granted, you know, again, you know, the Prometheans are, you know, up and down along the way, but they did a really good job of mixing up what you did in each mission, and I really appreciate that. I almost think that they did a better job of that than, you know, in Halo 4 proper than the other games of Halo. The Bungie games do mix it up, but I don't think they mix it up quite as much as what Halo 4 does. So I like the variety.
Okay.
What about weapons? How do we like the weapons in Halo 4 compared to the Bungie
0 out of 10, no needle rifle.
Yes, correct answer, Chris mm-hmm. Brown.
There's so many weapons now. So they took out the needle rifle, but most of them made it through. I mean, not the brute shot or some of those other ones that wouldn't make sense.
Shadow goes to then fixing the pistol.
Pistol felt good.
Halo Force pistol is really good, really satisfying. Mm-hmm. Gets the zoom, gets those headshots. Obviously, it incorporates the BR and the DMR. I like the BR. I think it's quite good in this game.
It's nice that they had both of them in the game, too.
Yeah, DMR. Definitely. Oh, I love it.
I think the Covenant weapons are the weakest in this game. Like, I think think about it, like, what I would use the least of.
Well, they were stripped down because they don't have the brute weapons. Big time. And then they introduced the Promethean weapons.
Yeah, the storm rifle's really nice.
I don't like that.
That's a weird one.
You don't like it? Yeah. You'd rather have the plasma rifle?
That and the concussion rifle is kind of weird. I keep trying to like it. Yeah. I'm just not.
The carbine worked really, really well, though.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's true. Carbine felt good.
We hadn't seen the carbine since Halo 3.
Mm-hmm. Because are you
the beam
rifle is
really cool.
Is it, though?
Yeah, they did the beam rifle really well. I mean, it was better than the focus rifle.
Okay, yeah, focus rifle sucks.
So they got a really good beam rifle going for them. The Needler always feels good. Needler feels like a proper Needler.
Mm-hmm. What's the best?
That's about it.
What's the best Promethean weapon for you, Krista?
Binary rifle.
David?
So good.
Oh, light rifle, hands down.
Light rifle.
The light rifle is really nice.
I think light rifle. It's the one I use the most.
The three shot one single shot thing is really neat.
Mm-hmm.
That is cool. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts on weapons before we keep going?
The incendiary cannon was really cool. Like super overpowered and annoying, but man, it's good.
Yeah.
Also, saw.
The saw is the winner to this category.
Yeah, you didn't
weapons.
Say that.
So good.
Yeah, but it's the winner.
You've been raving about it the whole time, and you didn't even bring it
Connor,
up.
Connor, it's
yeah,
the winner.
Yeah, I had to bring it up for you. Sticky Detonator was in this game. Very nice.
Wait, hold on. Right. David, is the saw the best weapon in Halo?
Oh, it's really
That's
close up
answer.
There.
That's the answer. Excuse you.
It's really close up there. Some of the variants in Halo 5 are amazing.
The answer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so good.
The answer is the most overpowered piece of shit ever, and every time I get it in Fiesta, I am so happy.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think, what else have we got in there? Just the last Shadow. I think, I have to say, Shadow to the effect of disintegration is amazing.
Oh,
that's cool.
So
I love
good.
That. That is satisfying.
It's also really satisfying.
Oh, totally.
Like, even when you're dying from it, it's super satisfying and cool. I love it so much. You just get to Thanos snap people out of existence whenever you want.
Yeah.
Before the Thanos snap, too.
I'm feeling like, if give me those Halo 4 weapons in Halo 3, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Yeah. They did a really good job with variety.
Yeah.
And every weapon they added was unique, different, and felt really, really good.
Would you rather have brute weapons or Promethean weapons?
I'd say Promethean, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Like, the brute weapons are so aesthetically... Like, without brutes, it doesn't make sense to have brute weapons, right? Like, they... Like, picking them up and playing with them aren't necessarily, like, the best gameplay experience, but having brutes using them feels, like, very natural and very cool.
Yeah. And like you said, the aesthetic is, it makes sense that the brutes would be using those.
Yeah.
They're very brutal. They're very,
The spiker's like the most, the most diabolical thing I've seen in my entire life.
Yeah, the spiker's nasty. Vehicles. Let's talk about some vehicles.
Ooh.
How are we feeling about these Halo 4 vehicles, Krista?
Boo, Warthog sounds boo.
Yeah.
They're pretty bad.
Is there there's Mongoose somewhere in there?
Yeah, I think there's Mongoose in multiplayer. You get Banshees. The Banshees work pretty well. I don't mind the Banshees.
There's those Manti.
I like the Mantis. I thought it was really cool to have a giant mech suit.
Mm-hmm.
I like it in multiplayer. It's really fun when Halo 4 multiplayer was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Ghost feels really nice. I think the Wraith also feels really nice. They feel like they should feel.
Mm-hmm.
The Mammoth Mammoth, right?
Yeah, Mammoth, the big one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really fun mission where you get to hang out on it, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a mobile base.
Yeah.
That's a vehicle. Yep.
That's a pretty good shout out. I think I would enjoy that the most.
The broadsword. You also have the lich.
The lich?
The lich is really, really cool. I wish we saw more of it. I'd like to see it as much as we saw like scarabs in Halo 3, but I liked the lich a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't a big, bad scarab analog, though, was there?
No, not really.
I mean, Mammoth was big, but it's on our side.
I mean, like those technically, big particle like the cannons,
like, they didn't
the
really
Mantle's
do it
approach kind of was a big, bad vehicle.
Sure.
And, like, we also had the Infinity in this, and I think the Infinity is, like, one of the coolest things they've added to Halo mm-hmm. vehicle-wise for a long time.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Any other thing to add, David?
No, I've kind of griped about the vehicles.
So you're more of a Bungie guy for vehicles.
I think so, and it's just because on paper, these things should be amazing. Like a mech suit in Halo should be amazing. I'm just not a fan of it. The Pelican should be amazing. Just wasn't a fan of how it was implemented. The Warthog I don't mind in this game. I know we don't like the sound, but I think it controls and mm-hmm. just find the variants of it are fun.
I love the look of it.
I enjoy the missions that you have it, yeah. The Mammoth mission's pretty dope. I do like the Mammoth. That's pretty damn cool. What else? I mean, the Cobblin vehicles are perfectly fine.
What did they take away vehicle-wise? Because they added a bunch. I mean, as we're talking about.
There's no Brute. The Brute ones, like the Prowler's not there. Mm-hmm. And
the Revenant.
Revenant's not there.
We don't have a Falcon. Or yeah. We don't have, like, Spectre's the Falcon or anything like that mm-hmm. human on the human side.
Chopper.
Yeah.
Chopper's gone. We don't have the variants of the rates. So no anti-air radar. I don't think in this game. Mm-hmm. That's kind of it.
Yeah. Also, no Promethean like vehicles at this point either.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, they didn't add those. Yeah, I like the overall feel of the vehicles outside of a couple sound things, but I thought felt good. I'm not a fan of the flying stuff, but. Just like driving around a Wraith. I've played a little Spartan Ops recently, and there's a part where you just hop in a Wraith. And you get the Wraith the entire
time.
Yeah,
that is cool.
It's pretty rad.
There's also another Spartan Ops mission where you're just in a Mantis the entire time, and there's like 50 Manti around the mm-hmm. map you're playing, and you can just kind of just kill as many enemies as you want with the mm-hmm. Mantis, and that's pretty fun.
Yeah, the Banshees feel good. Yeah, I'm a fan of the vehicles. It's hard, again, this is a hard thing to do is compare, but I would like I like my Halo 4 vehicles. I think there's more variety in the previous games, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But the evolution I'm feeling the evolution that they've taken. All right, enemies. This is a big one. Enemies, Bungie enemies or 343 enemies. We're probably all in the Bungie camp, right?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we are.
I'd rather fight the Flood than the Prometheans. Yeah.
So I think that's an easy answer, but what do you think about how they handled the faction battles? Like, there's always the Flood versus Covenant versus UNSC, and then in this game there are Prometheans versus Covenant versus UNSC. How do you think they handled that situation?
I also liked how in Halo 4 they had kind of the twist of the Prometheans ending up joining the Covenant as well and helping them.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting, how you kind of start off in the Covenants fighting the Prometheans, and then eventually they, like, start working together, and it's, like, a whole new dynamic because they're all working together.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked that a lot. I think it was really cool.
The big battles, I don't think there is any really huge ones that you feel in this game. There's some good moments where, like, it
before
drops
you
at the end
the
of
didact,
the mission.
That would be the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it drops you, and you get, like, a tank and stuff like that, and you're kind of fighting and there's other humans fighting mm-hmm. that's okay, but I guess there's no huge set pieces other than that mission where you're storming up to the Didact. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that just cool. feels like a small room, you know.
Yeah,
it does. Yeah, if it was a bigger area I think it would feel better, but like you have all these corridors and stuff you're going through, so it kind of lessens the effect of this giant battle because you can't see the entire battle.
Mm-hmm. How about the level design? Can it compare? Can 343 games compare, or this game compare to the level design that Bungie kind of worked their way up to?
Bungie had a lot of games to work up to some of the grandiose things we saw in Halo, like, 2 and 3. So I would have to give it to Bungie just for that, but they had a lot of building to it.
Yeah.
Where, like, Halo 4 almost feels like in like a precursor, something that's building.
Yeah, I give credit to Halo 4 and the 343's design, where Bungie repeated a lot of their missions in their games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did.
So Halo 4 didn't really do that.
Not until Spartan.
Every mission progressed and moved. Yeah, well, that's true. But the story played really well, and you went to different locations and they felt different, and you weren't backtracking all the time, and they wouldn't reuse environments for the most part that you're really aware of. So I appreciate that about it.
Yeah.
Well, they reused environments appropriately. Design, like Forerunner stuff always felt the same.
Exactly. Yeah. It always will.
Yep. Sorry, David. I think you had another thought there.
Probably not really, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it felt like Halo. You know, there's a lot of moments where there were some callback moments, like what mission was it? I think it might have been the Composer mission, where you felt like you were on the Pillar of Autumn at one point, and there were areas where you could do different attacks. You know, you could go down the middle, you could ignore one side, you know, like you can do traditionally in Halo. There were some big wide open areas. So yeah, I think they did a good job. I don't think they did a bad job. You know, I would say Bungie did a better job, but I don't think 343 did a bad job. I think they were they held a high standard, I think, in Halo 4. All right, so lore, we got two more categories, lore and characters. These ones kind of go together, but I feel like we can separate them here specifically because we're talking about the overall story, kind of what we talked about at the top of the show, the story, the lore that was told in Bungie games versus the lore that's being told in Halo 4. And then we can kind of get into the characters at the end here. So what do you prefer? Do you prefer this more, I don't know, hidden kind of layered approach that Bungie did in the past, David, or do you like the approach that 343 is like, here's all the stuff that you wish you knew?
If you want to find it, I prefer actually 343's one. I mean, Bungie is what created the love, but I think 343 are doing a great job of like fueling that and like maintaining it. So I do like that they created a game. And here's 6 books that go around it. I do love that. I love that there's more in there and that reading those books makes this game better. I think that's excellent. That's a great way to do things. I 100% understand people that don't like that and they say that's way too much in order to understand the game. I understand that there's a balance there, but for me, I do love that. I like how 343 have done this and that there is very much a serious note of this book has to match this game, which needs to match this comic. So I like that. I like that there's people in charge and thinking about those things. So my preference would go actually 343's way.
Yeah. Krista, thoughts?
Lore. Ooh. I gotta say 343 because at this point, Bungie had only released like 7 or 8 books, depending on how you're counting, like Evolutions. And then 343 comes along and they're like, all right, we got a franchise now. 6 books immediately. Which I gotta say was a lot. Like, that's a lot of reading material to get through. And I do not envy people who are just coming to the series and need to read all of these books. Oh, yeah. But
it's a fun
they did an amazing job telling more stories.
It makes me
fleshing things out.
It makes me think about the resources that 343 has versus the resources that Bungie had. I don't know, like if the Bungie games cost as much money or relatively, you know, depending on when they were made, as Halo 4 and whatnot. If it feels like 343 has more resources at their disposal than Bungie did, so that's something to take into consideration.
It feels
I'd say
like
they do now, but maybe not when they were doing Halo 4.
It feels like they allocated more resources to world and lore building than Bungie did.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the real key here, is that they put more people on that mission instead of having everyone kind of work on the base game and stuff like that.
Sure.
I guess
maybe Bungie was making games and 343 was making a universe.
Yeah. I think that was kind of the thing. Yeah.
That's interesting. I like that. All right, characters now. How do you like this new batch of characters, David?
Swing and a miss for Palmer. I like Lasky. The Infinity as a character is pretty damn cool.
Yeah, that's true.
I like the idea and premise of this massive city in this space. I mean, there's so many characters there to be built. Didn't like the Spartan up characters, any of those Spartan forests, didn't like any of them.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are memorable. Really.
Nope.
Halsey's great, even though she's only kind of Spartan ups for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Glassman is a weird character.
We'll talk about that. We'll do a recap on Spartan ops. Yeah. So
he's Halsey's stand in. Who else we got Didact. In this game? Didact amazing. Del Rio Librarian. Was good as a character to hate. Librarian was great. I guess actually pretty good in terms of the kind of characters, especially when you're thinking about who these characters are and that they're starting from scratch implementing them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were good.
Yeah, Krista?
It's really hard just because, like, I really like what 343 is doing. Like, I love it so much. I like how they're going in more depth into characters and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the lineup of, like, Captain Keyes, Miranda, Hood,
mm-hmm.
Sergeant Johnson, the Gravemind, you know, all the Prophets, the Arbiter, yeah. I feel like that kind of is dwarfing Halo 4 at the moment, yep. just because of all the amazing characters Bungie had. And of course, like, just murdered, like, all of them, pretty much. yeah. Like, most of those people I named are dead.
Right.
So, I mean, they had to make it a brand new cast of characters, but those are the people that I really think about when I think of Halo, and, like, as time goes on, like, Lasky's entering that fray, and of course, Dr. Halsey is always going to be there, but she, mm-hmm. in Bungie, she was, like, in the background, and I'm really happy that 343 is putting her more in the forefront.
Yeah.
The Didact is an amazing, yet poorly implemented villain outside of Halo 4, which is such a shame.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, 343 decided to make a bunch of assholes, like Palmer.
right.
Like, Palmer gets better as you play, but Palmer in that one cutscene and then Del Rio, I'm like, man, why is everyone so mean in this game? But I have to go with Bungie just for now.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, it's hard. They haven't had a chance to implement, to write as many new characters that Bungie did. So it's hard. But I think, you know, percentage-wise, Bungie has more, a higher percentage of better characters
to this. It's point. Like us, we're basically comparing, like, all of, it'd be like, if we were doing something equivalent, it'd be like CE to Halo 4.
Right.
They're both kind of starting a new story, starting a new franchise.
Let's have that conversation right now. Let's have that conversation. So the characters that were introduced in Halo CE versus Halo 4, does it still go to Bungie?
It definitely.
Maybe,
like,
not at all.
The only
what
really
have you got?
What you got in Halo CE is you have Keyes, who is just Princess Peach the entire time. You have 343 Guilty Spark, amazing, but isn't a very good overall villain.
Mm-hmm.
And because the Flood, just in general, kind of fills that overall villain slot, but the Flood without the Gravemind is kind of just like, eh.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Sergeant Johnson, which is just comic relief through all of CE. And you have Foehammer.
And who wasn't, yeah, I mean, when you think about it, Sergeant Johnson wasn't even a character in Halo CE.
No, he was a joke.
Just a character model. Do you know what I mean? That had his voice. I mean, there are several of those characters in CE. There is, John is not a character in Halo CE. He's barely in it.
Right.
Cortana is probably the main character that came out of it. Keyes was great, killed off. Halfway through the game.
Also, like, poorly implemented. Keyes is so poorly implemented in this. He's great at the very beginning, and then throughout the rest of the game it's just like, we have to find Captain Keyes. We have to find Captain Keyes again. Oh, Captain Keyes released the evil parasite, and now we have to find him again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. So Halo 4 brought forward, like, its character set is better than Halo CE, is what you're saying.
Oh, much better.
Yeah.
But they were also, you know, standing on the shoulder of the giants, but at the same time, like, the new characters that just came out of nowhere that 343 brought in, amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that's. But then when you look at the full breadth, and we can't really have that conversation until we played a few more 343 games. But yeah, interesting. Cool. I like going through those categories, as always. That's a fun conversation. There's no real winner. I mean, if there's a winner, probably has to be Bungie at this point, just because there's more.
Yeah.
But it's a better conversation when you're comparing Halo 4 proper to like one of the other titles from Bungie. Yeah. So fun conversation to have. All right, let's rank the games. This is one of the best parts of, these
shows. I'm dreading
shows.
This so much.
Rank the games. We've played 6 games. Krista, rank them. Off the top of your head,
let's
go.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Okay, how about 2, 3, CE Reach, 4, ODST? Is that all of them?
Ooh, I think it was. Yep.
Okay.
David?
Terrible list, Krista. Mine's
how dare
suck
you?
As well. CE, and it changes every time. All I know is I always start with CE. God, where have I put this? I think I like ODST.
You have to do it fast. You got to just list them off top of the head.
3, ODST, Reach, 2, Halo 4, Halo 3?
Oh, Halo 3 okay. Is the bottom, huh? All right.
Ooh. Yeah, I think so. I
love them all. They're all so different, and it's hard to put one at the bottom.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're all good. All right, so let's go. Halo 3, Reach, ODST, 2, 4, CE. I think that was all.
I love how all of our choices are so different, too. It's really nice.
I think that was it.
Actually, my bottom is Spartan Strike. That's my bottom.
Well, we haven't played that yet.
I don't care.
But like, automatically goes to the bottom anyway, I suppose.
All right, cool. So we do have a community question that we'll cover. And it's going to be some fun reads there. But I do want to say, okay, now what? We are playing Spartan Ops next. We're not going to Halo 5 yet because there's a story to be told in Spartan Ops. An interesting story. And
sure
whether
is.
Or not the gameplay is that great, we'll talk about that. But I would say play Spartan Ops or don't play Spartan Ops. You can also just watch
big
movie, or you can watch some gameplay, you know, if you want. But I would say grab a buddy. Spartan Ops is good with a friend. Spartan Ops is good co-op. So grab a buddy or two or three and play some Spartan Ops. I think they call them episodes. They're pretty long, actually. If you go through, like, there's five. Again, I'm not using the right terminology, but there's like five episodes or five
in a mission, like missions. It's something, it's like a chapter,
yeah, five
and
chapters,
then episodes in the chapter,
yeah,
I don't know,
yeah, but they do take
it,
a while
it was
to
all
go
very
through each
confusing.
One and they were released, and anyway, we'll cover that when we during the next
Spartan
episode.
Ops has caused me so much pain so far.
Something that you could read though in the meantime is you could read the comic books. Initiation is about Spartan Palmer. And then you can also, you could probably read Escalations up through 12. And I don't think
if
there's a lot of interplay between those. So you can read some comic books, but other than that, there's not a lot of book lore that's going on in between Halo 4 and Halo Spartan Ops. And I don't think there's anything to watch between there either. But anyway, so go read some comics, play some Spartan Ops, and then we will catch you over on that next episode. But let's do our community question before we get out of here. David, should we start in Facebook?
Yes, let's start the Facebook. Let me pull this thingy over, click this button, and we have Mr. Colin Perkins. Admin, August 23rd. That kind of dates it a little bit. At 2:34 p.m. Write a haiku about Halo 4's campaign. Open bracket question for mission debrief dash Halo 4 recap episode close bracket.
A what? Are you going to read poetry to us? A haiku?
I might do. I'm not going to say them in the way they should be said, but you know what I mean? Here we go. Mayu Blankenship says, Master Chief wakes up. Mad Didact turns folks to ash. Blue Babe goes nuts, dies.
That's good.
He says he had one too many syllables and he edited it. That's pretty good. That's fair play. Chad Ferris. He refused to die. She overstayed her welcome. It's not over yet. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Trenton Hunter. That guy. That guy. The chief becomes woke. I think that's a kid thing. When the kids say that. The Didact becomes woke too. then Cortana dies.
You get a poet on your hands.
Good
there,
job, right? Trent.
Krista.
Ian Francis. I know him. Cortana is dead, or maybe she survived it. Wait for Halo 5. Good job. And that's actually pretty good. It's more than maybe you should expect poets on the internet.
Mm-hmm. That's it? That's all we got on Facebook?
That's it?
That's it.
Boo,
that's
Facebook. All Facebook. All right. Sit down, everyone. I'm going to read them all. I wasn't going to read them all, but now that Facebook has disappointed us yet again, our dank Discord friends are going to teach you how to actually write haikus. All right. So Redacted17 says, I must read a book, but time is not my ally, so you make no sense.
That's very good.
Big Daddy Matt says, Master Chief is back. Cortana is losing it. Damn Prometheans. Sam, or Rye, says, when the Chief wakes up, all hell begins to let loose. Chief kills everything. Ian says, falling from the sky, Master Chief has now returned, and so has Ryan. That is an inside joke. No inside jokes. Third says, Cortana is crazy. Have to find Dr. Halsey. Keep your promise, Chief. I like that one.
Oh, that's good.
Blue Calyx says, did not read the books. I do not understand it. It's snowing on Mount Fuji.
Okay.
All right. Third, also, we got a lot of double ones, but we're going to read them all because Facebook sucks. Third says, consider the books. They are an excellent read, more than background lore. Good job. Luchagor says, she asked me that once about being a machine, and I still don't know. That's a good one. It's deep. Let's see. A lot of these people Facebook are doing... wins. There's a lot of four ones on this. All right, I have a couple more. All right. Gay Robot says, awake from long sleep, soldiers trapped inside machine shells, no rest from the fight.
Nice.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Third says, I found the writer, goes by the name of Gay Robot, potent poetic. Gay Robot is Chloe, and she helped co-write the Foreigner trilogy.
Well, that's Gay Robot? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's Chloe.
Hi, Chloe.
Impulsive says, boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 pow.
Discord sucks.
You suck.
Stupid.
Moon Seal says, Madman wants revenge after being awoken from his timeout nap.
Yeah, that's good.
And finally, McMumbles says, age-old threat unleashed. Duty calls him back once more. Her voice falls silent.
Oh.
Ooh.
I like that.
Very nice. Here's one more. Muffin says, I kind of liked it. Honestly, mediocre. Would rate 6 of 10.
Nice.
All right. There's our Discord. Yay. Some go gems. Discord. You guys are amazing. I love you.
Discord lost. But anyway, good job, Discord.
All right, that will do it for our recap of Halo 4. On the next episode, we'll be discussing Spartan Ops Season 1, Missions 1 through 5. Send us your thoughts on podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. You can also support the show by visiting Podcast Evolved on Patreon. Until next time, Evolved.
Evolved!
Okay, that was good.